Hello! You can join in as the books
turn around.
Seriously, they sit there and they go, you know, we've missed this. We've been waiting for this all year, and they still get it wrong. Jukebox Jerry. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, Ewan Spence here, another Jukebox Jury, and lo and behold, we found a studio. It's not a great studio, it has to be said. There's bits of stuff falling off the walls, there's red paint everywhere, we're in Leith and the sun is shining, so I'm assuming it's a dream. But anyway, we are here to look through five more songs that will be entering this year's Eurovision Song Contest for 2015, appearing in Vienna. Yes, this is Jukebox Jury, another round where we ask the simple question, hit, miss, or maybe. We don't tell you what we think a hit is or a miss is or a maybe, and we play the songs and we listen and we chat and we cogitate and we judge and we make petty comments, and we'll mention things from previous years that are so in depth and nerdy the only time you'd see them is as a punchline to a Petra Midra joke, that sort of stuff. If that's what you've been looking for the last week since the last time we did a Jukebox Jury, good. Welcome. Joining us, and by us I mean me and you, the listener out there, we have the man that the Scotsman calls, that guy we send over to Eurovision every year so Liam Rudden can still actually print stuff in the newspaper but never admit to being a Eurovision fan. It's David Elder.
Hi there.
Now, I know that you were at the Eurovision's Greatest Hits, and I know Liam Rudden was there as well, so the cover's kind of blown, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great show, though, wasn't it? I loved that.
It was a lovely show. I don't quite think it was a Eurovision show, and there was lots of missed opportunities, and I've written about that on the website, so we won't discuss that now, because David will get upset, because I could hear him crying from the other corner of the Hammersmith when Anne-Marie David came out.
Oh, she was fabulous. Yeah. She wasn't as good as Nicole, but she was fabulous.
Nicole, that was the one that looked a bit like J.K. Rowling doing some karaoke Eurovision, yes?
Yes, but it was lovely.
Yes, it was lovely karaoke. look at that voice of it, the voice of indignation through sign language is now waving at me from the other little recording booth. Elaine Dove also now embarking on a strong singing career over the last 12 months yourself with Sing in the City. How's that going?
Oh, it's absolutely fabulous, I have to say. We've just booked our show for the Festival Theatre next year, 2016, so I would urge you all to come along and
buy tickets. Which Eurovision song are you going to sneak into the running order?
Well, I have it on good authority from MD Kirsty Baird that there may be a Eurovision medley getting worked on as we speak, so I'm not going to put it out there and choose a song. I'm going to let her surprise us.
It's a shame, because I would have voted for Sing Little Birdie.
Well, do you know, sometimes it's best to let your successes stay a success. I don't think we can ever really quite
recreate
that crazy bird moment.
No. I was thinking more of the pearl necklace. But if you want to go for the crazy bird, we'll go for the crazy bird. We're not going for any crazy birds in this show, though. We have five songs vying to win the gold glass trophy thing, whatever, that they designed 7 years ago. Malta, Finland, Moldova, Israel and Spain will come before our ears, and we shall ask the simple question of hit, miss and maybe. Let's go with Malta, first of all. A song that has, you know, it's been around for such a long time. They did their national final directly after Junior Eurovision, so they still had the staging, they could still use that, and it looked absolutely wonderful. But it meant that choosing a song in mid-November has given it a long life, and the familiarity that the Eurovision fan has around the song, good or bad, we shall have to find out. But it is one of the warriors of Eurovision. This is Amber. Singing warrior, not the first time that she's attempted to win the Maltese national final. Like every single other person in Malta, they have to have seven goes at this before they can win, unless your name is Gianluca, in which case, yay, first go, in you go, don't embarrass your sister. Elaine, what do we think of this warrior?
I think it's It's like you say, I remember hearing it for the first time back in November, and I thought, yep, that's it, it's good. It's something a little different from Malta. Really quite enjoyed it. But as things have gone on and more songs have come out, I think there's a lot of things have overtaken it. And they've maybe had that disadvantage of, you know, they played the card really, really early. And, of course, other countries that hadn't even picked their song yet, have, you know, I've had this to sort of judge on. It's perfectly pleasant. I do like it. I think she'll do quite well. I think in a warrior off, she would be second.
Oh, so what you did there. Yes, because it's not the first time that Eurovision songs have doubled up on the titles, but now we're getting quite a lot of them in the same year. I think for me, the interesting thing about Warrior is it has gone through that remix, but I still don't think it truly knows what the song is about. You know, the video is doesn't have the sort of consistency of image that, say, we saw with Firelight last year or the She and Look at the year before. You know, those were clearly songs about being away from home and songs about, you know, just having fun and knocking hats off people, which you can make a really good 3-minute song out of. With Warrior, it's just there, but doesn't seem to have the focus that you need to concentrate in 3 minutes.
I think you're right, Ewan. I think it's they definitely oomphed up the production values with the revamp of the song.
And it's fair to say there that in these national finals where you have smaller broadcasters, they don't have the money to oomph up every single song like you do at Melody Festival. And so when you win and you get money, the assumption is you're going to go and find a producer to oomph up the song anyway. But they have done it, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose what that has done is it's given the fans that have known that song for the last sort of 4 months now an opportunity to listen to it again and reevaluate it and think about, you know, well, is this a contender or not? For me, it's a little bit overblown. I'm not quite getting all the histrionics that go on in the video and in the production. And I like it. It, but I think they could have done more with the revamp than they've actually done. It's not really selling it to me, unfortunately. And I think it's a shame because Malta's one of the best countries in Eurovision at the moment, but I have a feeling they may miss out on the final this time.
I kind of agree. It's there, it's sort of borderline, it's on the middle. I know a lot of people that think, you know, you maybe shouldn't just judge it against one song, but when you have two songs with the same title, they're obviously going to get judged against each other. Personally, I prefer the other one, which we may talk about later, so I won't go into detail. But I know a lot of people that, hands down, will say Malta, you know, the best one. So I think you're right, it's kind of on that borderline. I don't see it missing out in the final. I think it will be there. But, you know, Who knows?
Don't get me wrong. I'd be really pleased for Malta if it does get to the final. Because, as I say, I think they're one of the strongest countries in the competition at the moment, and they consistently put in good entries. But I think this year they maybe just shot their bolt a little early, perhaps.
It's a tough one because budget-wise, they really had no choice.
Oh, no, I understand exactly why they did it. I just think it's a bit unfortunate for them because they then had a song that everything that came along afterwards was going to be compared to. And as Elaine said, virtually everything that came up, well, not virtually everything, but a lot of the stuff that came along after it, people were just going, yeah, it's better than Malta. Yeah, it's better than Malta. It's better than Malta. And there you go.
Remember the days when we did the running order draw back in September, David?
It's a long time ago now,
yeah.
You've got that unfortunate thing as well, as, you know, Malta comes out and then you get the second song that comes out. And people, as you know, Eurovision fans will start doing the, right, there are three songs picked, what's your top three? And to see yourself as, like, second of two and third of three, that's got to be quite disheartening as well.
Absolutely. Poor Amber.
Right then, let's go Hit Miss Maybe, as we traditionally do. David?
Ooh, Miss...
Elaine?
Maybe.
I'm a maybe as well on this one as well. There is something there. And maybe we've got a nice focused stage show to come up on that one. But for me, because it's, I mean, what, 17 in that semi-final, 17 round 10 to go through, and they're in the top half, it is relatively close for Malta to qualify. But for me, that is a maybe. Right then. David, at your request, you wanted to put this one into your jukebox jury. And you know what? Let's run this one relatively early. The boys from Perti Kuri Kuri in Nepalaviat, better known as PKN, which saves my pronunciation for the rest of time, but the song I Lam Mun Pieta, I Always Have To, is representing Finland. think, you know what really upsets me about this? There's one thing that really upsets me here.
What's that?
It's like 1 minute 37 long. If they could just shave 7 seconds off the song, they could have done 1 minute 30, and then they could have walked up and go, "You love us so much, we play it again!" And then do the whole 1 minute 30 again of the same. Because it would still be within 3 minutes.
Yep, that would have worked.
But they could have had the song twice, and that to me would have been the perfect epitome of punk, of just going, "I know your rules, and I don't care."
Absolutely.
David.
Okay, well, yeah, you're right, Ewan. I did specifically ask if we could talk about this song, and not because it's my favourite song in the contest, but by no means is it my favourite song in the contest. However, for me this year, this is what Eurovision is all about. I heard all the songs in the Finnish final early in the new year, watched the contest, not really liking this song, but knowing fine well it was going to win the contest. But when I saw the reaction of the guys when they won the public vote and they came back up on stage, that one guy who was just standing cheering and just almost in tears, I was in tears. I just thought, this is absolutely fantastic. These guys who, you know, great respect to them. They're well recognised artists in their own right in the punk world. They've toured around the world. They've done all sorts of stuff. You know, they know exactly what they're about, but for them to go and do Eurovision, but more importantly, for them to be guys with learning disabilities that are not letting the learning disability stand in their way, and they're kind of basically sticking two fingers up at the world and going, "Do you know what? We might be different to you, but hey, we can still go, we can party, we can do our thing." And for me, that really is what Eurovision's all about this year. So all strength to them. I think this is fantastic, and I'm really, really pleased this is the Finnish entry.
It certainly is one of the many things that Eurovision is. It's always interesting that in the media that they will typify Eurovision as that gay Olympics thing, or it's just for gay men. And, you know, to be perfectly brutal, David, you're outnumbered in this room in terms of, you know, you're the gay man.
Yep.
I have to come out as a straight man whenever I go to Eurovision, and Elaine is unique.
Elaine's a lovely straight woman.
But, again, showing the diversity there,
yeah.
That Eurovision is more than just this camp sequin thing. It's been running for 60 years, and there are songs that people love and there are songs that people hate.
Exactly. That's the point I wanted to make about this, because last year, when Conchita won, all the gay people in Europe were going, "Oh my God, this is diversity, this is wonderful.
Europe's
accepting this diverse culture, blah, blah, blah." And now this year, a punk band enters, and a large amount of the gay population are going, "What is this, you know, demonistic, horrible music all about? This should be banned from the contest, this, that, and the other." And I'm thinking, excuse me, where's the acceptance from last year? Where's the diversity? Where's all this cultural stuff? It's not happening. And that really, really annoys me, because I think, you know, that's very two-faced of people.
The other interesting thing, of course, is you do have the band's background and you do have the genre of music. Punk, in its rawest form, is not the most acceptable mainstream music sounds that you would get on a Saturday night.
No, it's certainly not. And, you know, I'll just bring some sense back to the room now. That was all very lovely. And I get it. I do get all that. But, you know, Ewan said the song 7 seconds too long. I would say it's 1 minute 36 seconds too long. But that is purely on my taste. And that, you know, with Conchita, I thought Conchita, it was fabulous. But not because Conchita was Conchita, I thought the song was utterly fabulous. I don't know enough about punk music to know whether this is a good example of the genre or not. All I know is my ears don't like it. That doesn't take anything away from the boys. I'm not necessarily one for, you know, it's great because, you know, it shouldn't be because of the disability.
And to be fair, the band never really play on it. Yes, yeah. It's part of the lyrics, but they don't have badges.
As we've said before, there is a natural empathy in people that they do vote for people that have had a tough time, people that have maybe seemed to have, you know, had difficulties and such like. That's just natural, you know. So yes, there will be some people, I have no doubt, that have voted purely because of who the boys are. I'm just talking about the song. I think it's a big pile of poo. But again, I can understand. I'm not taking a tantrum. I'm not asking for it to be taken. They won the vote, therefore they deserve to be there. I just didn't like it.
Perfect. That's why we have judges in to do jukebox jury. But the bigger question is, personal opinions aside, is it a qualifier?
I don't think it is. I mean, I think people are getting caught up in... I think it's not a main... It's difficult. I think if people are going to sit there and vote for the song, it will appeal to a small minority. Will it qualify? See, I do think that if it does qualify, it's going to qualify on its backstory, not because people particularly like the song.
See, for me, the interesting point here is, look, we can go back to Conchita last year, is my challenge was always that Austria needed to get out the semi-finals and then the PR story would take care. But at the same point, it was a sexy PR story. It wasn't an... This is not a comfortable PR story to do. So, can it get out the semi-finals? For me, my honest answer is I think this is a close 11th place. And I think the worst thing that could happen is Australia put this out.
Ooh, that's interesting. See, I think for me, I think last year, yeah, Conchita was the newsworthy story. And I think this year there are two countries that are going to be the newsworthy stories, and I think it's Finland and Australia. So it's quite interesting you're saying that. Having said that, I think the amount of column inches and radio coverage and blog coverage and everything that Finland's going to get in the lead up to the contest probably will ensure that they do get through. And yeah, probably on their backstory. But I also think there might be some punk fans out there that hear about this and think, do you know what, let's go and vote for these guys. I mean, whoever thought a hard rock song was going to win Eurovision in 2006? Well, I did as well.
That's two out of three.
Yeah. because
good argument there, David. Keep it up.
Great gimmick. Yeah, but if you'd spoken to the general public before and said, oh, yeah, it's a hard rock song, it's going to win Eurovision, they'd be like, yeah, that's not what Eurovision's about.
Strictly speaking, it was Schlager rock and roll. It wasn't a hard rock song.
Yeah, but... I think for similar reasons, I don't think it's a winner, but I think it will qualify.
Hit, miss, or maybe?
Oh, mess. Mess by a country mile.
Country mile. Fair enough.
Not even close.
David?
I'm going to say hit for this one.
David's going to say, I am hit on this one as well. Even though I think it will stall in the semi-finals, I think it will do wonderful for the band. So they're going to have a better career after this. So from that, say a hit. They're going to get record sales. And like the guy, I think it was the drummer that came up afterwards, they are going to have a two-week time of their life that they will never forget, yeah, that is almost utterly unrepeatable.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, if that's what happens and that's what it's all about for them, then good on them.
Yeah, and I must say, I'm really looking forward to meeting them. I have no qualms about them. I'm really interested in them. I just don't like the song.
Right, let's move on to Moldova then, which was the first occurrence of River Dance as an interval act at Eurovision 2015, the second, of course, being the Greatest Hits. The jury is out which stage actually did it better, either the stage at Hammersmith or the stage in Chisinau. I'm personally voting for the Chisinau one, but only because Kitty Buckland was beside me going, it's all a fix, it's all rigged, this is a terrible contest, why did I come out here? And we're like, well, what did you expect, love? It's Eurovision. So, Moldova eventually, against the protests of 15 of the 16 grand finalists who refused to go to the closing party afterwards and all the free drink, have decided to send the delightfully Ukrainian sound of Eduard Romaniatu and I Want Your Love.
The picture that you're painting got me all anticipating.
About this one, they spent quite a bit of money on the video.
They did. But you know what, I like it. I think it's really good. I'm sorry, Ewan, I know that probably...
Well, see, here's the thing, the backstory is quite ugh, but the song itself does have a certain rhythmic appeal.
Yeah, it does. It's a very sort of contemporary, well, it's maybe contemporary 10 years ago because it's got that kind of Justin Bieber kind of sound of it. But I actually quite like it. Having said that, I listened to the studio version of the song before I saw the live performance. I saw the live performance and thought, oh my goodness me, what a car crash. So they're going to have to do some work for Vienna to inf up a bit. But the song, I love.
The stage presence is the tricky one here, because while there's been a lot of post-production work and while the video is literally a car crash over 3 minutes, the song itself requires a strong stage presence from Eduardo. And the honest answer is, you know, having been in the audience at Moldova, having sat next to him in the question time style debate afterwards that Moldovan TV do, that's just weird. It's just like, we've had our national final, we'll now go to the news, we'll come back and we'll have a question time discussion about how great Eurovision is and have we got a chance. And basically everybody's pointing at Eduardo going, why is he? He's not even Moldovan. So he doesn't have backroom support. He's going to have to bring up his own team. He's going to have to finance the whole thing himself. And he just, for me, doesn't have the presence that he needs to capture the camera on the night.
Yeah, this was a really interesting one for me because I first was aware of it by watching the live show, and I remember just thinking, oh my goodness, what on earth have they done? You know, what is this? This is a joke. This is ridiculous. But as time's gone on and the studio versions and everything have come down, I tend to put them on a playlist and I listen to them. When you're still not that familiar to them, you don't always even know what country it is I'm listening to. And this song kept coming on. I was like, what is that? I really, really like that song. And as I checked the playlist and it came up, Moldova. You know that point when you really have to sort of do a double take and think, no, that can't be, because I watched Moldova and I thought it was hideous and I thought it was everything that was terrible. But actually, like David, I really, really like that song. And it's kind of like, you know, the stereotypical, the guilty pleasure. I think Moldova is my
guilty
pleasure.
There's a lot of guilty pleasures, actually, in this year's song contest. Yeah, there's a lot of above-average songs. And it is a song that I will not skip over. And I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I wouldn't skip over it. But at the same time, I don't want to support it because I know the backstory. And here's one where the backstory just will not go. You know, it will not break out of fan circles. It will be, this is the Moldovan song. It will more than likely qualify. It's opening up semi-final one, which is the traditional space for Moldova, which is relatively strong. So it's a good opening, and it's got Armenia right after it as well, which is going to suck all the energy out of the room. It's going to be like a nice little light bulb at the start of the show. I do think it's qualifying, and then I think it's going to do an Anna Rossinelli.
What, just completely flop?
Just completely, yeah.
Yeah, it might do. But, I mean, it's a valid song. At the end of the day, you're going to bop along. And in a contest that's it's a contest that's screaming out for pop songs, and you've got one here, and it's not a bad pop song. Yeah. So,
and if you're like me, I mean, obviously people have different levels of how much they go into Eurovision and backstories, and you're a man of many levels, Ewan. I'm particularly shallow when it comes to Eurovision, and I just like
you
what
can
I
just
like.
Stop. I'm particularly shallow, Ellen.
I like what I like. I don't like what I don't like. And this just, honestly, it comes on. I just think, no, I really like this as a song. So
this could be Hit Miss or Maybe, Elaine.
Maybe.
It's a maybe for me as well, because a lot depends on the staging. We don't know the staging yet, and this is one of those songs where we need to see that to judge. So, David, using your new scale, Hit, Miss, Maybe, or Valid?
I think it's perhaps. I'm going to go maybe as well, because the live performance in the final was dreadful. So he's got a bit to prove. So
a bit to prove indeed. We're halfway through the show. Well, kind of halfway, because we're doing five songs, because I've got my arithmetic worked out now, as it didn't in Moldova. We have Spain to come up. But before that, we are going to have a little listen to Israel's entry in this year's contest, which will be sung by Nadav Gjed. Whatever, it's Nadav. I'll get that right for me, I promise, otherwise somebody from Mossad will shoot me. And the song is just this delightfully effervescent, there's no implication at all, Golden Boy.
Hold me tight, we're not going home tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like my dancing? Pull me, baby, I'm your trigger. You know that my love is bigger. Check me out.
Three, two, one.
My golden boy.
Israel have sent some, like in my mind, some really cracking songs over the last couple of years, and none of them have delivered on the night. And I worry Golden Boy is going to be the same. It's a really good song. It's the high energy song that the producers were crying out for when they were making up the running orders. And there is just something cheeky about Nadev's face that I think will work really well. But at the same time, Israel have never been able to take all of that promise in the last couple of years and convert it to points.
Yeah, it's a strange one with Israel. But this was the one, you know, as we were getting to sort of the tail end of the songs, it's like we're crying out for an upbeat one. Oh, what's still going? Oh no, it's another ballad, it's another mid-tempo. This one came out there and it just makes me smile. The rhythm to it, you know, it's upbeat, it's fun. I mean, I don't think there's really anything serious in it. I don't think he's taking it too serious. You know, let me show you Tel Aviv. I mean, that line.
That's my 3 minutes. Goodbye.
You know, I just think, do you know what? He's just come out there, and maybe they have gone, you know what? We've put some crackers in the past. We put blood, sweat, tears into these, and we've not done anything. So let's just go out, have a party, take a nice up-tempo number. If nothing else, they'll all be dancing down the Euroclub to our song because we've not qualified with better... I would say there'd be better songs that haven't qualified.
So be technically better songs. But yeah. In terms of songs that sound happy, this is one of the few... I mean, if we look down the running list, if we look down the 40 songs that we've got this year and how many of them are songs that you are infectiously happy, that you're not just going, oh, they've broken up. Oh, can you try and get together? Oh, he's such a tortured soul, but he's lovely and he's got ADHD and he has to move the picture frame, otherwise the wolf will come and get him. There's very few songs that are just, that's nice, I like that. Israel's one of them.
That's interesting because I dislike this. Quite intensely.
I knew you would, David. As soon as I heard it, I knew David would not like this song.
I really, really don't get it. And I'm sorry, if they didn't qualify with the fabulous piece of pop they sent last year, there is no way in God's earth this piece of tawdrid nothingness is going to get past the
jury. Oh, I've missed that indignation. Have you really?
There's usually a song every year that David and I listen to and we go, oh my God, that is so fat. This is and funnily enough, yeah. This year that's the UK for us.
Yay.
But there's also always a song that I think's fabulous, and I know I can almost hear David's indignation and
this
disdain pouring from his mouth. And this is it.
This tawdry piece of nothingness.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, the boy's a nice wee singer, 16 years old. God bless him. Should he not be a junior Eurovision? I'd rather see him there than in Vienna, to be honest. But no, I don't get it. There's a lot of energy in it. It's bouncy. All that wailing in the chorus. I mean, please, do we have to? I'd rather not, if you don't mind. I just, I really, really, really
He
don't
makes
like
me
this.
Think, if I was to go to Tel Aviv, I want him to show me round. You know, he's sold it to me.
I'd like his dad to show me round.
right then, so David, I take it it's a maybe then.
No, this is a huge, huge miss.
Huge, huge miss from David. I want it to be a hit, and this is the quote.
Well, have faith in your want.
Okay, miss. Right then. Yes, it's a hit. Okay, fair enough.
Boom. It's a massive, big hit.
It's a massive, big hit there from Elaine. It's now tying with Finland. But we've got one more shot, one more song to go in this jukebox show. Of course, your comments are always welcome back at the website, escinsight.com, and all the usual social media, Facebooks, Twitters, Hurdle Piles, Tumblers, all of that. Your comments are welcome as well. David will be carrying on with our writings at the Scotsman, so you can go out and buy a newspaper in Scotland in May and read his words.
Indeed.
And will the Eurovision Insider
the
blog still
Eurovisionary,
be
going? Yes, Eurovision. Will still, that'll be up and running again for Eurovision season in May.
Sorry, I got you confused with Sam's site, not Charlotte's site. It's just
The Eurovisionary at Blogspot, doodab, whatever. Just the Eurovisionary, you'll find it.
And Lane, you're covering with Garrett's hat on for Ireland again?
I certainly am, and I will probably have my Euro nonsense blog. Because that just about sums up as far into Eurovision as I can go.
Oh, you've gone quite far. With a hey, hey, ho, and a hey, hey, hey. We shall make our way over to the sunny shores of Spain. Or as Eurovision fans the world over know it as...
España.
Spain.
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 It's Spain, David. It's Spain.
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 We love Spain.
Yes, going back to an internal selection with a GSON number, there was hopes that... I was hoping that Adjourney was going to come back with a really good killer pop number with some of the stuff that she's done Pretty Boy before and some of the stuff that she's done previously after winning Operation Toro Facundo. But at the end of the time, we got a GSON ballad. Amansar, dawn, sunlight, bright light, sun coming up, isn't it wonderful to be alive? The usual sort of stuff you would expect from Spain.
What can you say about this year's Spanish entry?
Quack, quack, oops.
Bland.
Bland,
completely
good, yeah.
And utterly bland. It's like beige wallpaper. I'm sorry, I just want to plaster some colour into it. I want something more exciting. I want drama. I want enthusiasm. I want vibrancy. And it's bland.
But, David, they've just got something that would do really, really well. If this had been sent to Melody Festivalen...
It would still be bland. I don't care if it's Thomas Jason. He should know better. He wrote Pastora Soler's song in Azerbaijan a couple of years ago. That was fabulous beyond belief. Should have won. Probably really should have won. It was fabby. And when I heard that, you know, he had written the song for this year, I thought, praise the Lord, there is a Eurovision God. We're going to get Quédate Conmigo Part 2. And what we got was bland. Bland personified.
I didn't think we were going to get Quédate Conmigo. I thought we were going to get something a little bit more Schlager. I thought we were going to get something a little bit more... the sort of Jessie J number. I thought we were going to get a sort of 1985 Taylor Swift style. I thought we were going to get something that Adjourney could really get her teeth into and really attack on stage, because that's the sort of performer she is. What she's got now is she's got a ballad that she's got to be restrained, and that is not in her live concert character. Her natural intention is to really push hard on a song. And GSON's given her a song that if you push hard on it, it just falls to pieces in your hand. And it just sounds like a big screechy caterwaul. As I said, Spain by the numbers. So for me, you know, this is one of the biggest missed opportunities of this year. Until that came... Go back and have a listen to Pretty Boy, which is one of the singles that she did about 18 months ago. If they'd sent something like that, Spain would have been top 10 easily. This... I don't even think they're going to get out the 20s.
I couldn't disagree with both of you more. I heard it, and I'd heard a lot of people's opinions of Spain, so I listened to it expecting to hate it, and I think it's absolutely stunning. I listened to it, and it captures me. I honestly think it's absolutely fantastic. I think the melody in the chorus, it just grabs you. I'm sitting here almost stunned. I mean, I didn't think I liked Bland. I think... That and France, and maybe I've taken a year out, and maybe I've not got myself back into sort. You know, I'm getting back
into. So in other words, you're more like the general public who are going to be voting.
Very possibly, but I listened to it already, thinking I'm not going to like this, and I just thought, am I listening to the same song? I think it's absolutely stunning.
But this is the wonderful thing about Eurovision.
Absolutely.
Because weren't we have 40 songs in contest this year. We've got 10,000 songs that entered throughout all the national finals. And the chances of everybody agreeing on one song is very, very, very slim. It would need some sort of fairy tale. What we have is...
What you did there.
Yeah, nicely. Save your kisses for later for me. But the one thing that is great is that most people can like most songs. So the fact that this is why we have three people in Jukebox Jury. This is why hit, miss, and maybe is always left as a sort of what do you think? We don't really bolt it down. It's because it's the love of music, and people love different things. And Eurovision is great at finding extremes. We've got a ballad which some people hate and love. We've got a punk number which some people hate and love. We've got this sort of car crash Moldovan mix of Justin Bieber does the Fast and the Furious Chisinau Drift. And some people love and some people hate. And that goes for the Fast and the Furious as well. And this is why I love Eurovision. Just to go off on a very slight rant at the moment, it's because it doesn't matter the music, it doesn't matter the style, even though we hate the song, or we think it's bland, we still love the fact that it's there at the contest. Doesn't matter what the genre is, does it? You know, Finland.
I don't think David's particularly pleased that the Israeli song's there in the contest.
Yes,
but,
yes,
you know.
No, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm glad Israel's there, and you know, it's not my cup of tea, but I'm glad other people like it. And Ewan's absolutely right. Eurovision is a very wide church, as we say every year, and it wouldn't do if we all like the same thing. So it's nice.
Although
that
we did try with Sana to get everybody to like her.
Oh, God, no, Sana. Goddess. But, you know, not everybody's going to like everything. And as Ewan said, that's the beauty of Eurovision. Some people will like things, some people will dislike.
Oh, we should write a song about this.
Yeah, we could be next year's UK entry.
Oh, wow.
The thing about that, what would the song be like? It would be like a song about not being able to decide on something.
Yeah. Making your mind up.
Yeah, you'd have to work out a way to make
your
mind
clever.
Up. Yeah.
Oh, we should do that. I could rip your skirt off.
I could rip your skirt off, David.
Woohoo! We're on to a winner.
Oh, why me? we've still not talked enough about Spain, but I think that kind of answers the question about Spain. But shall we do the hit, miss, and maybe? I'm still going to put a maybe on this because it is still technically strong. I don't see the juries voting this heavily down the list because they have to rank all the way 1 to 27. Whereas something like Finland, it's very easy for a jury member to vote it low and justify when it becomes public afterwards. Spain is technically competent, should be sung well, should be staged well. So it should do relatively well in the jury votes to get some middling votes, and it should pick up lots of threes and fours no matter what the public do. So for me, even though it's not a song for me and it's a missed opportunity, that's a strong maybe.
For me, it's a miss. Sorry, Spain.
For me, Spain is a big hit. Big hit for Spain.
So there we go. That's our scores on the doors for the five. Malta opened up and actually didn't get up as high as anybody else. The Warrior is taking up the rear for just two maybes on that one. We have a tie for effectively third place between Moldova and Spain. And we have a tie for first place as well on Finland and Israel. Now, this is an interesting one here because normally we don't have anybody to do the tiebreaker procedure. So we're probably just going to have to, I don't know, fight it out on which one of those we're going to give the nudge. And we'll do that by which one do you think is more likely to win the contest?
Israel.
Finland.
No! I mean, I can't take this graciously. How can a song that I really detest win this Jukebox Jury? No!
Did you?
I knew that was going to happen. Sorry. I should take that with more dignity, and it's about taking part. No! Not happy.
It's not about the taking part. It's about the winning.
I'm not happy. I'll get my boys to come around and see you later. So Finland.
I would like it put in the disclaimer that Finland did not win with me. It didn't even come close, yet it's won. Yeah. Proper, I'm going to have a flounce. I feel a Mills coming on.
Oh, madam. You've got the top for it. Yes, that is Jukebox Jury. You can agree or disagree or rant or disown Elaine in the process and tell her it doesn't matter. But leave me in comments back at ESEinsight.com. We will, of course, have more Jukebox Jury next week and the week after, the week after, and the week after, and the week after, and then it'll be the final! And then we can see that Elaine was right after all and Israel win. And we'll have to go to Tel Aviv next year. Maybe 1 in 40. Okay, come on. Don't knock the chances yet. Everybody's still on zero. So, only remains for me to say thank you to my jurors for today, David Elder.
Thank you very much.
And who you will be able to read more on throughout the season at
The Eurovisionary at Blogspot.
Thank you to Elaine Dove, who will be taking to the stage in Edinburgh next year. But in the meantime, we will find our Eurovision stuff at
www.eurovisionireland.net.
Yes, there we go. And I'll tell Garrett you were very good. And he'll let you keep your accreditation. And, of course, ESCinsight.com, ESC Buzz, for all the headlines from all the main Eurovision websites and Eurovision.tv as well. The rest of the adventures of the crew will be up on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Insight. All of that throughout the year. Articles will carry on at the website throughout April and into May. It's a delight to have your company as we approach the 59th birthday of the Eurovision Song Contest, which will be happening this May in their 60th show, even though technically it won't be 58 because it's not 59 until the end of May because they can't count either. So glad it's about the music, because if it's about the arithmetic, we'd be out of a job. Who wants to do it?
Oh,
here's the electric guitars.